Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the upper part of Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Omed Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. The sukkah that we are opening up with on Kuf Nun Aleph Omed Aleph, 5 lines from the top, is in fact opening in the middle of a discussion, and more accurately, in the middle of a series. The opening word, behema, in fact, is enclosed in a geometric form, a volcano shape. In our marking system, the geometric forms represent a series of something. In this case, the series began on the previous omid of Kuf Nun Omid Beis. In our introductory remarks that we feature in our marking system in the outside margin, we had a Nosei Mivneh heading featured on that previous omid, in which we noted that these volcano forms represented a series of items that are referred to by the term nichsi, with the legal bearing on a case where one is transferring ownership, giving a gift of his nichsi to so-and-so. And the question is, what is included by the term nichsi? In continuing our list, we see over here, behema ikri nichsi, that cattle is referred to also by the term nichsi desnan, as is illustrated in the following Tanaic source. In our marking system, Tanaic sources are featured in frames. The next 3 lines, you'll notice, are in a framed section. The source features an individual who is sanctifying, dedicating to the temple fund, his property. And we notice in the source, even before we read it, we've emphasized 2 words with a dashed underline. The dashed underlining method of highlighting expressions serves to simplify the process in discovering what the essential points of that particular source or discussion are. So in this case, even before we read the source, we notice the expression nichosov is dashed underline, and the next line, the expression behema. This shows us that behema is associated with the expression nichosov. The source continues. Hamakdish nichosov, person who dedicates to the temple fund, to the Beis HaMikdash, his property. V'hoysa bohen behema ru'uyo legabi mezbeach. And amongst his property, he has cattle that are fit for being offered on the mizbeach, on the temple altar. We featured here with our lettering a breakdown, 2 situations. Aleph, zechorim, if they're male animals. Yimkeru, letzorche oilois, they're sold to people who need to offer a korbanola. Korbanola coming from male animals. Beis, the second possibility, unikevos, if he has amongst his cattle female animals. Yimkeru, letzorche zivchei shlomim. Korban Shlomim comes from males and females, so the female animals are fit to be brought as a Korban Shlomim. Therefore, if a person has in his property those type of animals, he will sell them to people that need a Zivchei Shlomim, and the money that he gets from these sales, he offers to the temple fund. Oifois ikri nichsi. Once again, you see the volcano form, because we're in the middle of a list. Birds are considered nichsi. Disnan, the Tanaic source, says, Hamakdish nechosov, vahoyu bohen devorim horuyun legabi mizbeach, a person who sanctifies his nechosim, and once again you notice the dashed underline, and he has amongst his property things that are fit for the mizbeach. For example, yenois shmonim v'oifois, wine, oils, and oifois. And notice the association we're making with our dashed underline between the word oifois and nechosov. Tfilin ikri nichsi. Tfilin likewise are considered part of a person's nichsi, his property, his possessions. Disnan hamakdish nechasov malin loit filin. If a person makes a blanket dedication to the temple fund, including his nechasim, part of his nechasim are considered tefillin. Malin means they're evaluated. The value of the tefillin that he owns are evaluated, and that amount of money he presents to the temple fund. Ibayalo, sefer Torah mai. What is the din? How do we regard a sefer Torah? A person who owns a sefer Torah, is that also considered nichsi? The next couple lines are enclosed in a bracket form. This is a function of the remark that the Bach makes that there are those that do not include this section as part of their girsa, their version of the Gemara. So if that be the case, the question concerning Sefer Torah is raised, and the Gemara, after the brackets, ends off with a teku with regard to the Sefer Torah. The Rashbam presents the two sides of the question. So we glance into the Rashbam a few lines down. Familiar notice, Sefer Torah, mi mikri nichsi, are they considered nichsi? We've noted in the Rashbam an aleph, and the next line we swirl on o dilma, and noted a beis. In other words, two sides to the possibility, the aleph possibility, o dilma, or possibly beis. Tefillin damu, is a Sefer Torah parallel to tefillin? And if we were to do that, just like the tefillin were referred to as nichsi, so too the Sefer Torah. Oydilma tefillin hainu taimo dahavu dahavi malbush. Tefillin are considered an article of clothing. Avol Sefer mitzvahi. The Sefer Torah represents the fulfillment of a mitzvah. One is obligated by Torah law to write a Sefer Torah. Velo nichsi. And as such, it wouldn't be considered part of a person's possessions, a mitzvah being a more spiritual entity, we'll say. Even though there is a possibility of selling a Sefer Torah, nevertheless, lo mikri nichsi. Nevertheless, we're not going to categorize it as a person's earthly possessions, teku. So that remains unresolved. As you notice in our marking system, we have a slash mark. This indicates that the ensuing Gemara will be of a totally new nature. Let us glance at the side where we have a nosei mivneh. We have a topic heading with a structural note accompanying it, because as you look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the appearance of a new geometric form, a new series appearing. In this case, the geometric form will be a house shape. The note on the outside margin indicates ma'asim, their incidents. Sherubam, most of the ma'asim, not all of them, but most of them are matnas shivmira, shoya bahem chazor l'toivas sheni, where the shivmira, the deathly ill individual, decides to reverse the first matona, refers to his initial presentation, and give it to someone else. The opening story, though, does not appear to be one involving a shchiv meira per se. The Gemara opens we notice something called a simon, a section that the printers included in parentheses. These represent the names of the players, of the those that appear in the next few incidents. We've listed in our marking system on this page, you notice, five house shapes, and there's five incidents involving the giving of matonas to one, and then a reversal after which the matona, the gift, is presented to someone else. The simon also has five names in it, alluding to the people found in the following story. Simon, Zutra, Ime, Da'amram, Me Tarti Achvaso, Rav Tuvi, Rav Dimi, Rav Yosef. There's another girsa that says Rav Dimi Bar Yosef. The first incident, Ime, Derav Zutra, Bar Tuvia, the mother of Rav Zutra, Kasvasinhu Lenichsa Larav Zutra Bartuvia. She assigned all of her property to her son. Why did she assign all of her property to her son? Because she was about to enter a second marriage, and she didn't want her new husband to receive these properties. Under ordinary circumstances, a woman who brings her properties into marriage, in the event that she dies, her husband inherits her. She was not interested in that happening. The halacha that we just mentioned includes a case where a divorce takes place. Then the woman will leave the marriage, taking the properties that she brought into the marriage with her. Now, this mother of Rav Zutra wanted to get married to Rav Zvid. She didn't want Rav Zvid, though, to be the beneficiary of her properties in the event that she dies. So she assigned all of her property to her son, Rav Zutra. That's what the Gemara says here. Debaya lin suvi le l'Rav Zvid. This mother, Ime, of Rav Zutra, wanted to marry Rav Zvid. The Rashbam points out that she emphasized, she said out explicitly that these were her intentions when she assigned her properties to Rav Zutra. In Siva, she married Rav Zvid Vigirsha, and Rav Zvid divorced her. At this point, she turns to her son claiming her properties. She wants her properties back. Asila Kame de Rav Bevai Bar Abaye. She comes to Rav Bevai Bar Abaye with her claim. Omar, Rav Bevai ruled, Mishum Insuvi, your gift was given in anticipation of your getting married. Vehol Insiva, and behold, you got married. You got married, and you thereby lose rights to your matona. In other words, you gave the matona, you gave the gift to your son under the conditions, under the understanding that you were going to get married, and you got married. The Rashbam, v'ho insiva, v'hifsida, and you lose. The kona b'na, her son keeps the gift. V'lo ahani giluye daita, the revelation that she mentioned before she gave the gift to her son, that she was giving it because she was getting married, that revelation works ela lahochi, for only under the following circumstances, she'ilu lohoisa nises l'Rav Zvid, that if she would not have married Rav Zvid, in other words, if she would have given the gift to her son and then decided not to marry Rav Zvid, lo tiskayim ha-matona, then the matona, the gift, would be void. Avol hashto de insiva niskaimo hamatona. But now that she got married, and those were the circumstances under which she gave the matona to her son, niskaimo matona, the conditions for the giving of the matona, for the giving of the gift, have been fulfilled. So at this point we see, and we've underlined his name, Rav Bevai Bar Abaye rules in favor of the son. Omar le Rav Huna brei de Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna objects to Rav Bevai's ruling, and he says, Mishum de Asu Mimuloi, because you, your family, comes from a town, according to the Rashbam, he says, a town called Mamla. In other Masichtas, you see this expression associated with Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, and the Rishonim offer different explanations, but for our purposes, this is what the Rashbam presents here. And he says, since you come from the town of Mamla, Amrisu, Mili, Mulyasa, with a play on words, he says you say words that are imperfect. The word Mulyasa, according to the Rashbam, means Balmum, imperfection. In other words, your psak is an incorrect psak. And he explains, Afilu Lamandi Omar Mavrachas Koni, even according to the opinion that says, a woman who assigns her property in order to chase it away, so to speak. That's a literal translation of mavrachas. She's trying to keep her properties away from her new husband, so she assigns it to someone else. So even according to the Mandomar that says that assignment is actually binding, and that the one who received her properties keeps them, hani mili hechadolo galya daita, that's where she did it, where she gave the matona without revealing her intentions. Hence we say that the matona that she gave to someone else, so as to avoid those properties falling into the hands of her new husband, that matona nevertheless is binding, because there were that matana was done without accompanied expressed intentions. Aval hocha, in the case involving Ime de Rav Zutra, gal yodaita de mishum insuvihi, she revealed her intentions, why she was giving this matana. And she was giving it because she was getting married to a second husband and didn't want him to get the properties, and with this intention to get them back in the event that she would be divorced. Peha insiva the igrisha. And behold, she did get married and got divorced, and everyone would agree she gets them back. The Rashbam points out, right underneath the Gemara, fourth line, he says, "Aval hocha galya daita de mishum insuvi mavrachas mibaila," that she was giving the matana to her son because she wanted to keep the properties away from her husband. Uladas kein she achsru lo achar gerushin, and with the intention that she would get them back after divorce. V'harei insiva v'igrisha. Hachamodu Rabbanon de Lokoni. Everyone would agree, even the Rabbanon, who in the case of Mavrachas, a standard Mavrachas, would say the receiver keeps it, here, not the case. Elo Yachsru Lo Nechosim. That rather, she should get the property back. Continuing in the Gemara story, case number two, Ime de Rami Bar Chama. The mother of Rami Bar Chama. Here we're going to be featuring a case of a Shchiv Meira. She was deathly ill, and Buurta Kasvasinhu Lenichsa Lerami Bar Chama. We've underlined the word Buurta in the evening before the next day, the evening, and we also refer to it as Aleph. Stage one, she assigned all of her property to her son Rami Bar Chama, but Safra. In the next morning, Kasvasinu l'Rav Ukva Bar Chama, she assigns it to Rav Ukva, the brother of Rami. Also, Rami Bar Chama l'Kamei Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama, who was interested in being the owner of the properties, presented his case, his claim, to Rav Sheshes. Ukmei b'nichsin, Rav Sheshes sided with his claim. Also, Rav Ukva Bar Chama Kamei Rav Nachman Ukmei b'nichsin. Rav Ukva did likewise and presented his case to Rav Nachman, who sided with him, with Rav Ukva. Also, Rav Sheshes l'kamei to Rav Nachman. The two rabbis, the two poskim, meet up with one another. Rav Sheshes goes to Rav Nachman. Omar le, he asks, "My time of Ukme mor l'Rav Ukva Bar Chama? Why is it that you established Rav Ukva? Why did you, Rav Nachman, establish ownership of the property on behalf of Rav Ukva? I mishum de hodraba, if it's because she backed out, the mother backed out from Romi in and favored Rav Ukva, v'ha shchiva, but she died. The claim that she died would appear that the claim is that since she was a shchiv meira, and a matnas shchiv meira is binding, and she died, so her original intent should be binding. Omar le, Rav Nachman responds, Hochi Omar Shmuel, Kol She'ilu Omad Choser, anyone who, had they gotten better, had they risen from their sickness, Choser B'matanoso, that same type of person, namely the deathly ill individual, if he wants to back out from his gift, is able to back out from his gift as well and present it to a second party. And that's what happened over here. Had his mother gotten better, she would have received her properties in return from Rami Bar Chama. So, following the standard that Shmuel presents, that same kind of individual, the same deathly individual, if they should decide to give a matona to someone else, that matona is given to the second party. Question. Amor domar Shmuel liatzmo. Shmuel maybe says his din with regard to himself, where the party who owned the properties wants to get them back so he can back out of the gift he gave for his own benefit. Li acher mi omar, But who ever said that Shmuel would agree that the Shchiv Meira could back out of the first person in favor of a second outsider, a second individual, someone other than themselves? Amale, Rav Nachman answers, Beferush Amar Shmuel, Bein Le'atzmo, Bein Le'acher. Shmuel said in an open and explicit fashion that this idea of backing out of an initial gift applies whether the back out is in favor of oneself or in favor of a second party. And hence, she had a right to switch ownership from Rami Bar Chama in favor of Rav Ukva. Continuing with case number 3, Ime the Rav Amram Chasida, Have lo Meluga d'shtaroi. The mother of Rav Amram Chasida had a bunch of shtaros. Ki ka shachva, when she was about to die, Amra, she said regarding these shtaros, these are documents that are of value, namely they represent value. With these documents, she could claim ownership of things, of debts that are owed to her, of property. And hence, she says at the point of her death, she says, Lehevei la'amram bri, I want these shtaros to be his, to be Amram's, my son's. Asu achva lekameid Rav Nachman. Amram's brothers came to Rav Nachman, Amru lei, and they placed a counterclaim saying, V'ha lo moshach. Amram Chasida never made a kinyan on the shtaros. He didn't draw them unto himself. Amar lehu, Rav Nachman responded, Divrei Shchiv Meira, the words of a Shchiv Meira, Kiksuvin uchimesurim damu, they are as if they were written out and given over. In other words, the oral agreement, the oral statement of the Shchiv Meira is tantamount to an act of kinyan. Achte d'Rav Tuvi bar Rav Matana. This is story number 4. The sister of Rav Tuvi, Kasvesinu l'nichsa l'Rav Tuvi bar Rav Matana b'tzafra. In the morning, tzafra, the morning, she assigned her properties to Rav Tuvi. Lefanya, toward the afternoon, evening, Osa Rav Achtevuye bar Rav Matana. Rav Tuvi's brother comes to her, Bocha lo, and he cries to her, feeling that he's losing out. Omar lo, and he claims, he says, Hashto Amri, now that all that you gave all of your property to Rav Tuvi and you gave me nothing, people will say, Mor tsubim rabbonan, umor lav tsubim rabbonan. That he, Rav Tuvi, is a scholar, and that I am not a tsubim rabbonan, I am not a scholar. And because of his scholarship, so you chose to give him all of your property. Upon hearing that, kasvesinu nihalei, she assigned her property to him, to Rav Achtevuye. Also the kameid Rav Nachman, Omar lei, hachi Omar Shmuel. So Rav Tuvi, who now is losing out, comes to Rav Nachman and says, how could this be? How can I lose out? So Rav Nachman explains, hachi Omar Shmuel, kol she'ilu omad chozer. Anyone who, after giving a matana, if they were to get better, the matana would be reversed. They, the giver, would get it back. Chozer b'matana, so that same individual has a right to change the assignment of the matana and favor a second party. And as a result, the second one, in this particular story of Rav Achtevuye, would be the legitimate owner. Achte d'Rav Dimi bar Yosef, Have lo piskisa de pardisa. The sister of Rav Dimi had a piece of a pardes, a small portion of an orchard. Kol emas dehavis cholsha, have mikne le nihale. Whenever she felt that she was getting sick, that she was on the threshold of death, she would immediately assign her property to Rav Dimi. V'chi kaima havis hodrabo. And when she would get better, she would back out. In other words, she would get her matona back. This idea is based on what we have learned already in the Mishnah, that if a person who's deathly ill gives his property and leaves nothing for himself, namely lo shir karka kolshu, doesn't leave for himself any karka, the matona is not binding. And hence, that's what happened here. She gave away her property holdings to Rav Dimi. And when she gets better, she claims the property back. Zimno chada cholsho, once upon a time, this happened again. She got sick. Shol chole, tal kni, she sent for Rav Dimi, come, acquire. Sholach, he sent back, lo bo'ino, I don't want this, I don't want to come. Shol chole, so she realized that he doesn't like this arrangement where he gets the matona and has to relinquish it every time she gets better. So she makes him an offer that's hard to refuse. She says, Ta kni kol hecha debois, come acquire under any condition you would like. The Rashbam at the second line from the top, Ta v'koni kol hecha debois, bo arto elai, come now to me. Ukne hasodeh bekinyan gomor, and acquire the sodeh with a full-fledged kinyan. Bechol inyan shetirtzeh shelo uchal lachzor, in any way that would prevent you, that would prevent me from backing out. So, what does Rav Dimi do? Ozal, he goes, shaira v'konu mina. He makes a kinyan, he makes an act of acquisition on that piece of orchard that she has, leaving for her a little bit. So he leaves with her a little bit, which we call a matona b'miktsas, a matnas shchiv mera b'miktsas. In other words, a matnas shchiv mera where shir ba mashu, where, like using the terms of the Mishnah, where the shchiv mera keeps for herself a piece of it. Ki kaima, when she got better, hodra ba, she wanted to back out and get her orchard back. You can imagine Rav Dimi's feelings at this point, where he thought he did everything in the guaranteed way that this shouldn't happen. Asoi lekame de Rav Nachman. She came to Rav Nachman with her claim, I want my orchard back from Rav Dimi. Sholach le to. Rav Nachman sent to Rav Dimi, to, come. Loi osa. Rav Dimi didn't come. Omar, Rav Dimi figured, my isi. Ha shaira v'konu mina. What could there possibly be? The gift was given with a part left out, and therefore there is no reason for me to come. Shalach le, Rav Nachman was insistent. He said, "I lo osis, if you don't come, mochino loch besilva delo miva doma, I'm going to put you into excommunication, into cherim or nidui." Literally, this expression can be translated, if you don't come, mochino, I'm going to beat you with a silva, a thorn, the lo mivadoma, that doesn't allow for blood flow, doesn't cause blood flow. That's a literal translation, but for our purposes, Rav Nachman was threatening that if you don't come, you're going to suffer a form of excommunication. Omar lehu le sahadi. He asks witnesses, Hechi hava maisa, what exactly happened? Omru le, the witnesses report, Omra hachi, she said thusly. The giver of the gift, who in this case was the sister of Rav Dimi, that when she gave the gift, she said the following, Vai dekomiso hachitza, woe unto this woman who's going off to death. So the matona that she gave was accompanied by this particular expression. And she said that woe unto her that she's going off to death and she won't see her brother that doesn't want to come to her. Omar Lahu, Rav Nachman said, Im Kain, if that's what happened, Mitzave Machmas Misa, this is a new category of gift giving, one who's issuing instructions because of impending death. Umitzave Machmas Misa Choser. And every case of a gift where part of the gift wasn't just the sickly circumstances that the person was suffering, but rather, but in addition, an open expression, an explicit expression of fear of death, those kind of matonas are returned. Go back, whether it be a matona without a shiur, or even a matona b'miksas, even a matona that was given with some element, with some aspect of withholding. And the Rashbam adds, even if a kinyan was made, if the person gets better from their ailment, they get their matona back. Because it was obvious that the whole kinyan was made only as a result of the impending death. And they mentioned it explicitly. And as a result of that, this kind of matona is returned. We can emphasize, once again, that this kind of matona that is a result of a mitzave machmas misa is different than the matona of a shchiv meira. You notice in our markings, a slash appears. This indicates that that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a nosei heading, Matnas Shchiv Meira B'Miktsas Haim Boi Kinyan, a Matnas Shchiv Meira, a gift given by a sickly individual, does it require an additional kinyan to be made? This is not a standard Matnas Shchiv Meira that is a matona given with no property withheld. Here it's a case of property being withheld. What is the din with regard to the need for a kinyan as well? Itmar, matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas. We also have employed the use of a diamond here that's explained in the outside margin. Shtei deos b'Rav Nachman. We'll present here two opinions of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's name, you'll notice as you scan ahead in the Gemara, is featured with a double underline. So we continue in the Gemara. Amrua Rabbonon Kamei Derova Mishmei Demar Zutra Brei Derav Nachman Diomar Mishmei Derav Nachman. The following was said over in the name of Rav Nachman. Hare hi kematnas bori. Vare hi kematnas shchiv meira. A matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas, a deathly ill individual giving a matona that it does not involve all of his property, but rather part of his property, namely the shchiv meira is withholding something. This has characteristics of being a matona of a healthy person and the matona of a shchiv meira, of a deathly ill individual. In what respects? So we've featured here with a squiggle underline and an aleph and beis the two aspects. Aleph, harehi kematnas bori, the matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas has the elements of the matnas bori she'im omad eino choser, that if the giver gets better, he does not get it back. Just like any matana given by a healthy individual, once they give it, they don't get it back. V'harehi kematnas shchiv meira. And the matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas is like a standard matnas shchiv meira, namely a matona that a deathly individual gives where he gives away all of his property, delo baya kinyan, that there's no need for an extra kinyan, namely his mere verbal instruction is sufficient. Omar luhu rova. Rova, upon hearing what the Rabbonon said, responds, Lav amina luhu, didn't I once tell you, lo titlu buki sriki b'Rav Nachman, don't hang empty bottles on Rav Nachman. In other words, don't say meaningless words in his name. Hachi Omer Rav Nachman. Thusly says Rav Nachman. Notice we've double underlined his name and called him Roman number 2. This is the second version of Rav Nachman. Harehi kematnas bori ubaya kinyan. Rav Nachman claims, according to Rava, that the matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas does require a kinyan. The Rashbam says, Ubayo Kinyan. You'll see the Rashbam a little more than halfway down. He says, Vekevon dekonu mine, and as since a Kinyan was made, im omad eno choser, if the ill individual gets better, the matana is not reversed. He doesn't get it back. The equal kinyan, you have one point, there is a kinyan. And bay is a second point, vishiur, and also that it was not involving all of the property. He withheld some of the property. The kol shekein de'imeis kana, certainly if this person dies, the gift is binding. Aval, below kinyan, however, if the matnas shchimer b'mikzas doesn't have a kinyan, afilu meis lo kana. Even if he dies, the gift does not go through, is not standing. The kol shekein im omad choser, and all the more so if he gets better, if there's no kinyan, the gift is reversed. V'hochi paskinon lekamon, and thusly it is ruled later on. As the Gemara continues, we notice a new geometric form. In this case, a triangle is presented. This is part of a series of back and forth discussions, comments. We featured on the outside margin the triangle and indicated ma'akav. This is a keep track approach where the triangle's position changes, the point facing up initially and then flipping over and once again facing up. This is explained. Kushyos al Rav Nachman, with the point facing up, they're going to be Kushyos al Rav Nachman number 2, the Omar Bo'i Kinyan. That was Rava's presentation of Rav Nachman that said that a matnas shchumer of anixas requires a kinyan. The triangles pointing up represent kashyos on that. With the point facing downwards, tshuvos, those will be responses. The opening question has, in fact, Rava, who was the one to present Rav Nachman. He presented Rav Nachman's opinion, but now Rava takes the liberties of asking on that which he claimed Rav Nachman to have said. Eisve Rava the Rav Nachman. Shier karka kolshehu. Matonosoi kayemes. The Mishnah says, regarding a shrivmara, that if he retains for himself some of the land, the matona stands. It's not reversed. My lav delo konu mine. Is this not so that no kinyan was made? So we see here that a matna shchibur b'miksas does not require a kinyan. We've written that in between the lines. Delo by a kinyan, and we've dashed underlined that to draw your attention to this being the main point, lo by a kinyan, as opposed to that which was dashed underlined two lines above, where we presented Rav Nachman, who said ubayo kinyan. So we have a kasha on that opinion. Loi dekonu mine. Rav Nachman responds that says that the Mishnah is talking about a case where not only did the shchivmer withhold a piece of property, but a kinyan was made as well. Question: I hochi. If it's so that a kinyan was made, that a gesture of ownership was made, emo seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah says, lo shir karka kolshu, ein matanoso kayemes. If the shchimera did not withhold for himself any land, then the gift is not binding in the event that he gets better. Ve'i dekonu mine, if a kinyan was made, if this shchimera gave away all of his property and made a kinyan to that effect, amai ein matanoso kayemes. Why does the Mishnah say that the gift does not stand? After all, if a kinyan was made, the gift should stand under all circumstances. Omar lei. So Rav Nachman responds, Hochi Omar Shmuel, shchiv mera shekosav kol nechosav lacherim, a deathly ill individual that assigned all of his properties to others, afapi shekonu miyado, even though a kinyan was made, Omad, if the shchiv mera gets better, choser, the gift is returned. Biyodua shelo hoya kinyan elo machmas misa. It is known, it is obvious that the kinyan that was done was only because of the impending death, and that we know because he didn't withhold anything. So it's obvious that the whole matana was given out of fear of the impending death. Hence, if he gets better, even though a kinyan was made, he gets it back. Eisve, Rav Masharshia, the Rava. A new question is raised, this time by Rav Masharshia. He directs the question to Rava, who had presented Rav Nachman that says that a matnas shchiv mera b'miksas needs a kinyan. Here we will raise a kasha on that, a difficulty. The following source, Maisa Be'imon Shel B'nei Roichel, a story involving the mother of the children of Rochel. Rochel is the name of a man, according to the Rashbam here. Shoisa Chola, this woman was sick. The Omra, and she said, Tinosen Kivinti Lebiti, Fubishne Masor Mona, give my Kivinti, an article of jewelry, to my daughter, and the value of the of this article of jewelry is 12 mona. Umesa, the woman died, Vikaimu Chachomim es Devoreha, and the Chachomim, the rabbis, established her gift as being binding, as a legitimate gift. The expression found here, es devoreha, they established her words, it's mashma, that her words, and only her words, meaning there was no kinyan. What we see here is her giving to her daughter this particular jewelry. We would call this a matnas shchivmer abimiksas. She didn't give her everything, she gave her just this piece of jewelry. And the matana was established, was binding, even though no kinyan was made. This is a kasha, once again, on the Rav Nachman opinion. The Rav Nachman responds, Hosom b'metzave machmas misa. The Rashbam explains toward the end of the Omid, he says, Hosom b'metzave machmas misa, his kiro demidaiges misa hi mechalekes, demetzave machmas misa, lo boy kinyan. Hecho demes. Bein iko shiur, bein leko shiur. Vachi paskin on the kamon. So the Rashbam points out that since she mentioned that the gift was being given under circumstances of fear of death, and she had mentioned in that particular story, she had mentioned that when she was giving the gift, that she was giving it because of her the nearing death. As a result of that, that's called a matnas matzave machmas misa, and that type of gift does not require a kinyan. In the event that the party actually dies, the gift will stand, whether there was withholding, whether everything was given away. For our purposes, though, matzave machmas misa is not the situation that Rav Nachman had been addressing when he spoke about a matnas shchivmer abimiksas. A third question is presented from a third source. Esve Ravina Larava. We have the following Tanaic source. Once again, we're expecting to see a case of a matnas shchivmer b'miksas that is established, that is not returned, even though no kinyan appeared. Ha'omer, tnu get ze li'ishti, ushtar shichur ze li'avdi. Umes, person who said, give this divorce document to my wife, or the shtar shichur, a document indicating freeing of a slave to my slave, and the owner or the husband died, lo yitnu li'achar misa. It's not to be given after the person's death. In other words, a woman is not divorced when the husband is already dead. She's then an almona. Tenu mona leploni, another instruction is issued. He says, give this amount of money to so-and-so, umes, yitnu li'achar misa. So he made an oral agreement indicating that he wants to give a certain amount of his property, certain amount of cash to so-and-so. The giver died, and it is given. The gift is binding. The Gemara asks, how do you know that this should be a kasha on Ravina? In other words, how do you know that over here there was no kinyan? Umimai delo konumine, from where do you see here that no kinyan was made? Answer, dumia de get, because it's taught in the same context of the giving of a get. Ma get lav bar kinyan, just like a divorce document is not something that is the subject of transactions. Af hai nami delo konumine. So too, the cash that was featured in this particular incident was cash that was presented, that was given, or that was asked to be given by the Shriv Meira without any formal kinyan made between the Shriv Meira and the receiver. Rav Nachman, or Rava representing Rav Nachman, rejects this. Hasam Nami, the case featured in this Tanaic source, is b'metzave machmas misa. And as we said before, a case of metzave machmas misa, where the gift is given with the explicitly expressed fear of the impending death, that does not require a kinyan. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua Amar, metzave machmas misa be'alma baya kinyan. He disagrees and says that in general, a matzava machmas misa does require a kinyan v'chi, tanya, hani, mas naisa. The sources above that indicated the gift is binding even without a kinyan, b'mechalek kol nechosov. That's a case where he is dividing out all of his property and not withholding anything. Dahi matnas shchiv meira shavua. That is made, or that is viewed as a matna shchiv meira, and we know that in the case of a matna shchiv meira, where it's given without anything withheld, the gift is binding. V'hilchasa, the Gemara now rules, number one, matnas shchiv meira b'miktsas, baya kinyan, v'af agav demes. This is similar to Rav Nachman's ruling above that was presented by Rava. We can say Rav Nachman, Roman numero 2, which appeared in the middle of the page. Number 2, Mitzave machmas misa lo baya kinyan, v'hu demes. The gift given with the expressed fear of impending death, that type of matana does not require a kinyan for it to be binding, v'hu demes, provided that the giver actually passed away. However, omad chozer, if the matzava machmas misa gets better, the gift is returned, v'afagav dekonumine, even if a kinyan had been done. With that, we complete our shiur for today.